Isn't this a great day? To be together with family is great. To be together with family and worship God together, I don't know many things that are better than that. And I want to thank Craig for leading our worship this morning. What a blessing to us to have him lead our worship today. And if you're visiting with us, if you're a guest today, a part of coming by being invited to come on Family Day, you honor us. This day is great because you've blessed us by coming. And so we love to worship God. We love to worship God together. This morning I'd like to talk about coming home. When I was 18 and it was time to ship off to college, I was excited. I know every situation is a little different. When it was time to go to college, I was ready. And I didn't have, the home life wasn't bad. It wasn't like there was a lot of conflict with mom and dad. But I think that natural spirit of adolescence and wanting to spread your wings and go, hey, I was ready. And so it was a Saturday. That was the day I was packed, loaded, car loaded. The plan was to drive and meet my roommate on the way, and we would caravan up to school. Well, he was having car trouble, and so I just went on. He told me go on. So I remember leaving home. I don't remember, mom and dad, really. I'm sure that it was a sad day for them. It's the empty nest. It's your last child leaving home. But I was oblivious to that because, the future was out there. Here I come. And I remember driving to school. I got to college before noon. And I remember getting there and getting moved in. Later in the day, I would see others and their families moving them in. Mom and dad, they're moving them in. I thought that was odd. Come to find out I was odd. But I was there early. And I remember walking around campus. Nobody was there. Okay, but I was still excited. I had heard, and rightfully so, that there was a ratio of two college girls for every one college guy. That was one of the reasons I was excited. I thought that sounds like a pretty good deal. I was ready to spread my wings, but as much as I enjoyed that freedom and what college, all the exciting things about college, I remember coming home. There's nothing like coming home. You come home and you step in and you sit your things down and you're home. It's like this past Monday night, we had Monday night for the master. And the ladies had cooked as they always do, but they had cooked homemade yeast rolls. And I stepped in the activity building and I smelt those rolls. And I felt like I felt when we used to go to Grandma and Grandpa Dunn's house and Grandma made homemade rolls, and you step in their home, and that's the first thing you smell, and you're home. There's something really special about being home. I'd like us to consider four things that are true about going home, coming home, and then we'll also look at those in a spiritual way. But the first one is peace. Coming home is a sanctuary. I remember over Christmas, this past Christmas, we went to Mom and Dad's, and we stayed the night, and they don't live in the home that we grew up in. They lived in, when I was seven, we moved to Shakota, and they lived in that. That was home. The home I grew up in was home for all those years, but recently they're in a different home, and I'd always kind of wondered, would it be, would we really lose that specialness of going home? And the reality is, it's the same. And I remember being there over Christmas, and we stayed the night. And before I fell asleep, I remember laying in bed there and just soaking it in. I can't even really put it into words, but the peace that you feel when you're home, the stress is not there. The chaos of life is not there because we're home. And there's something really relaxing and comfortable about going home. Unconditional love is what we find when we come home. We find acceptance. Think about it. Who knows you more or better than your family does? I mean, they know the best about you, but they know the worst about you. They know your weaknesses. They know your shortcomings. But they love you anyway. When we're at school, we have to consider how are others looking at me? How do we consider about those around us? When we're at work, we consider, how do my coworkers perceive me? How am I coming off to them? What do they think? And especially, what does the boss think? But when we're at home, these people know me, and these people love me. When we're home, we're accepted. When we're home, we're forgiven. Forgiveness is what we find at home and coming home. These people know me. They know what the mistakes I've made in the past, but they still love me. We find that we're loved. We find support when we come home. People in your family, they have your back. They're there to encourage you. They know what you need. They build you up. They don't tear you down. I want to share something that will probably seem insignificant, but I think you'll be able to identify. I think you probably have a story that's different, but it's special to you. A few years ago, I decided to pursue a degree in counseling and obtain that. And in doing so, that was a pretty big venture for me. I wasn't sure if I could handle that. I wasn't sure what that would entail. And I remember a time early on, I had just started, and I remember being home and in the kitchen, and Mom and I were talking, and she makes the comment to me that she says, "You know, you'll be good at that. You are good at that. You have a gift for that." She was talking about listening to people and just helping people. And then we went on and talked about other things. It probably didn't seem like a big deal to her at the time, but it was a big deal to me. Just hearing those words, hearing someone significant in my life say, "You're good at that." And since that time, during school, because it was quite a burden on top of other responsibilities that I have, and there were times that I wondered, "Can I do this?" And there were times that I wondered, "Is this worth it? I mean, this is a lot of work. What have I gotten myself into?" And I would replay in my mind what she had said. And you know what that's like when you have your own story of something that someone has told you that has built you up, a family member. And later, when you need it, you replay it. And it strengthens you. And you find courage. And that's what we find when we come home. We find support. When we come home, we find joy. There's a unique sense of joy when you go home. There's a unique sense of joy when the kids are coming to your home and the grandkids, and you hear them drive up or you hear the doorbell ring. What's that like? Why is that so exciting? Why is that so great and joyful? And it's because we're going to be together. And we experience some of that today. I have family here that I don't see every day. I was excited to see them. I think most of you have family here today that you don't see every day. And it's exciting because we're together. We will share things. A lot of us will go eat together today. I look forward to that. Yvette encouraged me this morning in a way you might find interesting. She reminded me, the shorter my sermon is, the more time we have to visit afterwards. We don't all encourage in the same way. But sharing, doing things in common, and I don't think it gets any better than worshiping in common. It's joyful. And these same things are true about our spiritual family. What is so great about coming home each time we meet with our spiritual family? What is so great about that? And these same things are true. We find when, and I realize many of you have a church home, and you've come today to make this day special for us. And we're blessed by that. And many of you don't have a church home. But when, and I'll speak in many terms about this church home, and just understand what I mean about coming home spiritually to your church family. Each time we gather, it's peaceful here. It's not the building. It's just like the home. It's not the home. Mom and Dad are planning to move here in this area soon. And I know when they do, the house will be different, but the home will be the same. And when you come to where your church family is, you find peace. Romans 14:19 says, "Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification." We find peace here. You can come in and just relax spiritually, because your burdens, you can leave them out there. We have burdens every day that we struggle with. But to be able to come and be with our brothers and sisters in Christ is a place where we find peace. And we don't find peace quite like the way we find it when we're with family. And I think even more so with our spiritual family, because there's a spiritual peace to that. I don't know about you, but during communion's always special for me each week, of course, for obvious reasons. But it's special because there's a sense of peace about it. Because of Christ's body and His blood, and that's what the communion elements represent, because of that, I'm at peace with God. And it's a reminder each week, I get in tune with God each week in a unique way during that time, because God and me, we're okay. It's not that I've had a perfect week. It's not that I've been perfect during the week. It's because I continue to try to walk in the light where God is, and He promises me that blood covers me. And that peace is priceless. When we gather with our church family, we find unconditional love. Look at this proverb, Proverbs 19:22. What a man desires is unfailing love. That's true for men and women. What people desire, isn't that right? Is unfailing love. Unconditional love. Ephesians 4:2 talks about us bearing with one another in love. Why would Christians need to bear with one another? I mean, aren't Christians supposed to act like Christians? You ever struggled with that? You ever had a brother or sister in Christ and they weren't acting like a Christian? Well, we all do that sometimes, unless we're perfect. We bear with one another because we make mistakes. But that's what love is. You can't have unconditional love without forgiveness. It's true about us toward each other. There were two of our people who came forward last Sunday, and they experienced this love. They came and in coming were saying, we haven't been doing right, but we want to. And we're back, and we want to walk close with God and close with His people, and we embrace them. And when they came, many came with them to sit down around them and surround them. It is one of the most beautiful things to me to see a soul come and be surrounded with love. And we know our God forgives us, and we know we forgive each other. And we find in 1 Thessalonians 3:12, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. When you come home to your church family, you feel that love that overflows. It runs through all of us, and it's amazing. Number three, each time we come home to our church family, we find support. In Acts 14:21, Paul and Barnabas have been traveling, and verse 21 says they preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples. They returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. It's not always easy being a Christian. It's not always easy being a human. I mean, life is difficult. Life brings challenges. Life brings suffering. And it's interesting. Do you know what just happened when Paul... what we're reading about here, what he said, what had just happened before, if you look in your Bibles, just above verse 21, you will see that he had just been stoned in another city. They drag him outside of town and leave him for dead. They stone him and they think they've killed him. And he gets up for that, from that, and continues on. And so when Paul says, when he encourages them and says, remain true, we must go through many hardships. If you have a hardship, Paul understands. He's not speaking about something that he doesn't understand. But this is where we find support, isn't it? I mean, your church family is where we get strength and support. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3 speaks about this. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Why do we love God so much? Because He loved us so much first. He's the God of compassion. He's the God of all comfort. And Scripture tells us, look at verse 4. This is speaking about God, who comforts us in all our troubles. Why? So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. When we come home spiritually, we're coming to people who understand. If you have a struggle, there's someone here who has been there. If you're struggling in your health, there are people who have been comforted by God when they struggled in their health. If you've lost a loved one, there's someone here, trust me, who knows and understands. If you're struggling with addiction, if you're struggling in relationships, if you're struggling financially, it doesn't matter. There are people here who've been there, and isn't that support priceless? Because they understand God and God strengthening them and helping them through. I remember coming home from college, and oftentimes when I would leave to go, and this was true when I was a young adult, even when I had graduated college and had a job, but on my way out from coming home, Mom would give me money, 20, 40, 60, 80. Here, take this. Gas. She might call it gas money, but she was giving me more money than I needed for gas. But she would give me money, and sometimes Dad wouldn't be in the room, and she would give me money, and I would say, I kind of argue with her a little bit. Mom, I'm fine. What's this for? No, just take it. Just take it. Just take it. Mom was a little more free with money than Dad was. I know every home has one who is and one who isn't. I would always leave with more than I came home with. And isn't that true spiritually? When we come to our church family, don't we walk out with more than we came in with? We find joy. It's a unique joy to come together with the saints. We learned last week that if you're a Christian, a faithful Christian of God, you're not a sinner, you're a saint. If you haven't had your sins washed away, if you haven't given your life to Christ, haven't become a Christian, and aren't walking with God, then you are still in your sins. And the term sinner applies. But a saint is one who, yes, we still fall short, but we're sanctified by Jesus' blood. And to come together, the joy that we have when we come together, we get refreshed. We find in 2 John 1:12, John writes about wanting to see them, and he says, I want to see you face to face. You know, we could have done something today, I guess remotely, I'm not sure how that would work. But coming home, part of what's so great about that, I mean, we have telephones and we have other ways to communicate, but coming home means face to face. And there's something uniquely joyful about being face-to-face and with your church family to be able to worship together. I mean, to be together and worship is amazing. There's nothing quite like it. I want to close with an illustration, a video I'd like to share with you, and then we'll finish.
School is always a good day, but for fourth grader Adrian Hebert and her little sister Emily in kindergarten, they have no idea just how special it's about to become. And here's why. In a nearby classroom, Gunnery Sergeant Donnie Hebert is just home from Afghanistan. He wasn't supposed to return until April, and he's about to see daughters for the first time in months.
Any nerves? Why do you like that? Now you don't know which way they're at.
Well, let's see, shall we? First, Adrian sees a welcome home baby. Initially, there's confusion. But when she sees her dad for the first time in a long time, it all gives way to this.
We have a very, very special guest today.
Emily, you raised your hand. Seconds later, the Hebrew family is holding it. Muffled sobs into the chest of this Marine say it all.
When soldiers are off it in another country serving, every day they long to come home. And isn't that the same with us in the world, this world that we live in, that we struggle in, that we do battle in spiritually to walk with God? Every day, don't we long to come home to our spiritual family? And each time we gather, we gain these things. How do we face the trials of this life without having the church family to come home to? To find peace and to find love and to find support and to find joy. Why do we find those things here? Because God is here. We're going to sing a song, How Great is Our God. God is the author. God receives all the glory. I know I've been talking about family, and we give credit and praise to God for that. But we're going to praise God together. You may be here this morning, and there may be something heavy on your heart that you want us to lift up to God on your behalf. There may be one here this morning, and you haven't had your sins washed away. You haven't been immersed into Christ. You haven't given your life to Christ. You're not walking faithfully with Him. If there's something you need that we can help you with, please come while we stand and sing.
The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. And age to age he stands, and time is in His hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great is our God.